Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, welcome to episode 2 of The Slab with Chelsea and Jim. Good to have you here. We've made it to episode 2, Chelsea. This is the most we've done of anything ever in our lives before.
I know. And in many ways, it's episode 3, which is even more impressive.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's go with that. I want to start with a question, though, Chelsea.
Go on. I wasn't prepared. Yeah.
Why do you need so much milk? Because last time I was looking in your fridge, you had at least 4 large 4-pint bottles of milk in there. And now you've bought more. Like, are you expecting some kind of nuclear disaster? Do you have a very specific tendency to hoard, but only dairy products? Like, what's the thinking behind the lot? The
so, milk? I'm going to tell you the truth, and you're not going to like it. Well, it's two factors. There's 2 layers to the milk story. One, it goes out of date pretty quickly, right? So I want to have a backup in case the ones that I have go out of date and I don't want to have to go outside. So every time, like, there's a new batch of milk in the shop, like a new album drops, but it's a new milk day. It's a new week ahead.
It's not the same.
I get some milk. But at the same time, I must admit that some of the milk in my fridge is empty / out of date.
Have you heard of UHT milk? It's long life. You can just have that in the cupboard. It doesn't go off. That's the beauty of it.
I'm not having chemicalised milk, Jim.
It's not chemicalised. UHT stands for ultra heat treated. And that is a gym fact. Ultra heat treated.
Hot milk? I'm not having hot milk.
No, it's not hot when you buy it. It's just been hot at one point. That's made it so that you can just keep it in the cupboard.
Jim, I've got hot milk before and it goes stinky.
Giving it a proper go.
One of the rules of milk is cold. The fact it's the only milk rule is cold.
I could think of a few other milk rules.
Go on.
Number one. Mm-hmm. Don't piss in it. This is what I've realised now. It was a mistake bringing up milk. I'm sorry. Should we get on with the podcast?
Yeah. It's my turn today.
Yes, I'm excited for your turn.
Me too. Although I also feel like I'm under a lot of pressure. So, I want to preface this by saying some words, which I will say now with my voice. I'm nervous.
It's always good to be clear with your audience. Carry on.
With this story, I have some logistical niggles, okay? And, like, they might occur at the end or organically during, but I just want to say, you know what? Let's just address the elephant in the room right now. What I'm going to present to you is called The Legend of the Highgate Vampire.
Oh.
But as I'm going through, you'll probably be going, that sounds more like a Highgate ghost. And you'll be right, Jim. 90% of this story to me, not an expert in vampires by any means, sure, sounds like a ghost.
I've got 2 main criteria for vampire Chels, and
go
that
on,
is fangs and sucking blood.
Well, oh boy, are you going to be disappointed?
And if that doesn't keep you listening, nothing will, quite frankly. Set your expectations low. Just dial that expectation meter right down.
I want to know who's coming to a Chelsea and Jim podcast with high expectations, because they're the idiot, not us.
New people, Chelsea. There could be new people. We have to be on our best behaviour for the new people.
I forgot
about
the news.
To take our metaphorical shoes off.
I forgot about them, guys. This isn't really a podcast catered for new people. It's for only people that have already heard our other podcasts and all of our content.
There's only a very specific percentage of the population who are ever going to like what we do, and that's fine. We're comfortable with that. And if you do like it, you'll really like it, and you'll be basically a friend of Chelsea and Jim.
And I think that, honestly, we've already found them all.
There's no more left to find.
No one else is coming to this. So
I'm happy with that.
Are you ready, Jim?
Yeah.
I'm just licking my lips.
Do I need to lick mine? Is that part of it? Have you been eating crisps?
No, I've had some. I've just had one sip of wine and one sip of coffee, like alternating between wine and coffee, which
ooh,
I think
like
it could be my favourite evening. I think in Spain, they drink coffee and red wine at the same time. And just say that it ain't mine. What's my name? I should. Sometimes I will do raps.
But we'll try and keep them to a minimum.
We'll
have a warning at the start of the podcast. Like, you know how you have an explicit content warning? We'll have a Chels rapping content warning.
Parental advisory. It all began. That's our phrase, by the way, guys.
Need to point that out, Chels.
All right, okay. Well, when we
no catchphrase was created by somebody saying, guys, this is a catchphrase before saying said catchphrase.
Well, I just want to prepare them for the merch. It all began.
Hang on, can I just open a bottle of beer?
You know, you can do that in the background. You don't have to interrupt my cool story.
Okay, fine. Okay, all right.
It all began. Jim, you're making noise.
Sorry. You said I could open it in the background.
Well, I didn't know you were going to do it loudly.
I'll do it quietly.
It all began. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Jimmy!
Sorry. My bottle opener's in the shape of a dolphin. It's really not practical at all.
We'll cut this bit
it's
out.
Not very
cut
economic.
This bit out of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It all began in London in the 1960s, but would continue for well over a decade. Everywhere you looked was vivid print and denim. Hey Jude carried on the wind from Watford to Croydon. Cecil Beaton could be found snapping photos in Kensington, whilst Harold Wilson sat in office, pouring money into education for the working class. But it wasn't all free love, fish markets and double-decker buses. Little did London know, something terrifying was brewing. Margaret Ooh. Thatcher.
Hey, I like that, political.
That was just a bit of political humour, political comedy for the slab.
We won't be doing a lot of that, I'll be honest. I don't know enough about politics to make political humour.
Yeah, and I had to Google that one either. When I was making my notes. Immediately after I say Margaret Thatcher and then laugh at my own joke, I then say, no, not really. It's the Highgate Vampire.
Hey, in many ways similar. Both blood-sucking...
But if anything, not, because remember how there's no blood sucking with this vampire.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
already established it.
I feel like that's going to be a key thing to remember.
The Highgate Vampire is a formidable British legend, so much so that when I interviewed Dave Goodwin from work about it, he said, haven't heard of it. So panic grips the nations. Any questions so far, Jim?
Well, I've not heard of the Highgate Vampire either.
No.
Like, how well known is this legend?
According to one gentleman, whose name is David Ferrant, it is infamous. But as we'll learn later, David Ferrant has a vested interest in the Highgate Vampire being popular. So I'm not sure whether or not to take him at his word.
Has he got a company that sells capes?
He is the head of the British Occult Society.
Right, of course he is. I mean, with a name like David Ferrant, what else is he going to do? Don't trust anyone called that.
Maybe he could collect ferrets.
I don't know if that's a job, is it? I guess it's a hobby.
Oh, that's true. Maybe he could be a ferret farmer.
Yeah, that sounds like a weird euphemism. That sounds like a weird, like, 1970s way of describing a gay person. Oh, yeah, he was one of those ferret farmers. One thing I know about Highgate, and actually the first thing that springs to mind when anyone says about Highgate, is that it has a cemetery there, a really cool cemetery.
Yeah, and that's actually what this story is about. It's the Vampire of Highgate Cemetery, not just the Highgate Vampire. It's specifically from the cemetery. There are a few... Do you have any more questions, or shall I continue with the story of the Highgate Vampire?
I don't have questions, but I've got feedback, and that is, I'm intrigued.
Awesome. That's really good, because soon you won't be. But I like that there's something gripping at the beginning, because a lot of I've noticed, like, books, films do, they end with some sort of crescendo, a conclusion, something that makes you think that the previous hour was better than it was. I'm not doing that. I'm not sticking to that rule. I'm starting high, ending low.
End low, people. Again, remember what we said about expectations? Dial them down.
There are a few conflicting stories about where the legend actually began. But I'm going to cite the earliest source that I found in my research as the official one, okay? So whatever happens from henceforth, Chelsea's decided, update the history books. This is it. This is the first sighting of the Highgate vampire. 1963. After visiting some friends in the nearby village, two young girls from the local covenant, automatically scary, nuns.
Yeah, don't trust a nun. I've seen nuns in real life and they all look weird. But what's the village near Highgate, Charles? Isn't Highgate like in North London? There's no villages in North London.
Well, it's Highgate Village, Jim.
Oh, right. Not a real village, though.
No, but it's like the village portion of Highgate, like where the shop is. Maybe the phone box was there.
Do they have a fate? Ever, because that's my sort of criteria. Okay, great.
Yeah, they'll have a fate in Highgate.
Do you think they've got a tombola in Highgate?
Do you play that, you know, that quiz game that's like on Snapchat? I don't know, is it on Snapchat? Okay, let's go back to the story then, otherwise that's a real dead end.
There will be dead ends, guys, okay?
Two young nuns were walking home along Swain's Lane.
Don't shout two young nuns at me.
Swain's Lane, a steep, narrow road which runs up beside Highgate Cemetery. Now, fact fans, well, no, more Chelsea fans, if anything. I've been there a few times to Swain's Lane, and it is a killer for the legs.
Is it very steep?
It's super steep. I think, if anything, the scariest thing about Highgate Cemetery is the exercise. Have you been, Jim, to Highgate Cemetery?
No, I've not. I want to, though.
It's definitely on a tilt.
Yeah, I don't like walking up hills, really. Did I mention I went to San Francisco on holiday?
Yeah, you did last episode.
Very well known for its big hills, and it was too much. You know, forget graves bursting out of... No, forget... Can we cut this out? Forget bodies bursting out of graves. What about calves bursting out of skinny jeans?
Oh, yeah, cut that all of that out. Well, you... Jim, just a quick question. Are you going to mention your San Francisco holiday on the next episode as well?
I think I probably will, yeah.
There was a chill in the air, and the century-old cemetery loomed ominously through the northern gate. As the girls scurried past, they claimed to have seen a shadowy body rising from a grave. And thus we have the genesis of the Highgate vampire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did they give any more details?
No.
And where was this recorded? Like, who did they tell about it? Did they go and tell the local press?
They tweeted about it. They got matching tattoos about their experience. I think they just told like the mum nun.
Oh, mum nun, yeah. And what did she say? Vampire.
Yeah, she was like, oh, that's a vampire. she was from Norfolk.
That's how they speak in Highgate. I mean, it's creepy, isn't it, seeing a shadowy figure rise from a grave? I'd love to see something like that, though.
Well, I think, like, an additional detail was that it was somewhat transparent, which isn't in keeping with what we know about vampires.
No, they're very apparent.
And do we know if they come from graves, or do they just sleep in coffins? Like, I've seen some of them upside down, like bats.
Do you know what, Chels? I don't really know what a vampire is. Like, I know that they live sucking blood. And I know that an old stake through the heart will absolutely see them off. They hate garlic, can't stand it.
Not a fan of garlic.
I don't know like what they are. Are they corpses that have risen from the dead, like zombies?
No.
They're always dressed very smart, aren't they? They've got lovely capes.
I think they're the undead in a way. Is that a zombie too? Would you describe the zombie as the undead?
Yeah, no, that's dead and then come back to life.
Well, in a way, that is undead.
Oh, like, no, a vampire, like, lives forever, doesn't it? So it can't be a dead that's come back to life.
No, but does it live forever as a vampire, or is it a human that lives forever, or was it never human? Is it just vampire from start to never end?
I don't know, Chelsea. We'll have to ask the person telling the story about a vampire. Oh, wait, that's you.
Well, no, I can tell you. I was just doing this bit. Vampires are always vampires. And they live forever. I've seen Buffy. I've read Twilight.
So you're born a vampire?
I wasn't born a vampire.
Good, just to clear that up.
Well, no,
because I've seen the way you've looked at my neck before. So you're born a vampire if you're a vampire.
You're either a vampire, but you like from like so. There's some vampires from forever, right? They're just always there, but they can make new vampires by giving a vampire blood transfusion. You don't give birth to a vampire if you're a vampire, but to keep the lineage and to keep like the hunting strong, or if you need new ones, you like transfer enough of your blood into their blood, that other human's blood. So like you suck their blood, but don't completely kill them, then put your blood back into them. They become a vampire too.
I mean, it sounds very complicated.
It's what
it really does. It's a lot of work to create a vampire.
Less work than to create a baby.
Well, I mean, no, you do know how to create a baby, right, Charles?
Yeah, but that's 9 months of brewing.
Oh yeah, but you don't have to do much to it once you pop it in the oven. That's just sitting there for 9 months.
Well, yeah, says the man.
You don't have to worry about. I know. You don't have to worry about blood transfusions though.
But it's not really I wouldn't say it's a transfusion. It's more like, imagine if I cut my wrist and then I cut the other wrist and I just touched the wrists together.
So it only has to be a little blob then?
Well, they suggest that that's a great way of like getting a lot of blood in from one to the other. But like probably like in reality, logistically, that wouldn't work because your blood would just flop out a bit. Flop out.
Well, do you want to carry on with the story?
Yeah. Similar sightings continued throughout the early 60s, with many claiming to have spotted a phantom figure nestled between the graves beyond the gate. It was tall, it was dark, it was handsome. It wasn't handsome, it was phantomy. Some say it had red eyes. Sometimes it was transparent, sometimes it wasn't. But, and here's where the very tenuous vampire link comes in, even more mysteriously, animal carcasses were being found around the site.
Oh. Did they have two little holes in their neck?
Again, I don't have that information at hand.
Okay, let's just backtrack a sec then, Chels.
Yeah. Go on.
There's a period of sightings.
Or if anything, go back. Yeah.
Who's seeing it?
Loads.
Just loads. Anyone loads. Specific?
Well, yeah, there's two girls. There's two young nuns.
Oh, yeah, we've done those after the nun girls.
We've got the young girls. We've got a variety of sightings throughout the 60s. I'm going to go on to two more types of
So we've
of
just
sighting.
Got a variety.
A variety. I'm just saying that a lot of people reported to have seen something in the 60s.
Right.
And it was sort of some sort of figure always near the graves beyond the northern gate.
Right, so they're seeing something mysterious in the same kind of area. Sometimes you can see through it, sometimes you can't. And what, it's got red eyes?
Sometimes red eyes, sometimes not. Again, conflicting. These people didn't corroborate the stories, which makes it sort of harder to believe, or maybe more easy to believe, because if it was all exactly the same, you'd go, you've conspired on that.
Yeah, maybe people see vampires in different ways.
I mean, that's a great point, Jim. I didn't read any about that in my research, but that could be the answer to this mystery.
You know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder is also seeing a vampire in a specific way in the eye of a beholder.
Yeah, put that on a t-shirt.
Hashtag merch.
I feel like also, like the animal carcasses is a lot like nesting in the previous episode, whereby it's a very sort of like pussy version of an activity. Like it's
what
where
do you
it
mean?
Was like egg. Well, like it was like, oh, I'm gonna hunt eggs instead of lions.
Yeah.
I'm gonna like suck the blood of hedgehogs instead of people. Do you know?
Oh, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Also, I didn't know that vampires could like get by off. And hang on, is kind of the mythology around a vampire that they can survive off the blood of a animal, but it's just not as good as the blood of a human. So like you know, a kind of Asda's own Red Bull in comparison to like a real own, you know, a real genuine Red Bull full sugar.
I can't think of a more accurate comparison than that.
It wasn't a great one, I'll be honest.
Twilight, obviously, we're all familiar with that great work. During that, they do animals and not people.
He does.
But they get really like on edge around people and they want to eat them, but they're good boys, so they don't.
Yeah, but they don't like it, though. They're gagging for a bit of human blood.
The animal satiate. It's just, it's like me having a salad. I've had a salad, but I'm still fucking hungry and I'm annoyed now. I'm annoyed because I've had a salad.
Yeah, that's a much better way of putting it. It's animal blood to a vampire is a salad to a hungry human.
Yeah, apart from like one of those humans that do marathons and stuff.
Or they're go not to humans, the gym. Charles. They're not,
and I
people.
Find it really difficult to relate to them. The late 60s now was when London really doubled down on this legend. The baby boomers were bored, and when they weren't fucking, they were hanging out in cemeteries across the city, desecrating graves and holding occult rituals.
Maybe even smoking a fat doob.
They might have had a doob in a cemetery. You know what? We've all done a lot of stuff in cemeteries, Jim.
Do we want to talk about the things you've done, Chels, or...?
Norwich Cathedral, 2008. Blue eyes, had a chippy after. Well, the thing about the 60s was, and this was a bit of a problem for London in the 60s, there's a lot of occult groups. And by occult groups, I don't mean anything interesting. I just mean a group of, like, later teenagers, early 20s, hanging out, thinking about the occult, because we had a lot of science, but not enough science at that point.
Well, people were just more spiritual. Yoga was in, people were getting in touch with themselves, opening their minds. Like, where's your third eye at? I don't know, I'm going to try and find it, though. Maybe it's your Jap's eye. Can't say that now. It's racist. But I only found that out recently. I've been saying Jap's eye without a care in the world for years. Someone told me, and I was horrified.
Yeah, don't keep saying that, Jim. I won't say that now, if anything. Put a pin in that one. Don't put a pin in there. We saw a video about that, didn't we?
Oh, God, I can't.
Anyway, there's a lot of occult groups, which I just mean gangs of teenagers hanging out in cemeteries, and they would, like, break the graves. They'd put graffiti everywhere. Classic shit. So a lot of the cemeteries around London were being destroyed, even though they were like 100, 150 years old. So all of this activity and things like flowers being found, like arranged in strange patterns around graves, sort of like the Blair Witch, or even garlic found around the graves, is something that these kids were up to. So it was sort of like a fun, hot topic as well, is the fact that there were sightings. So
what? So they were like creating the illusion that there was a vampire there by like leaving stuff around.
Yeah, but incidentally almost, because they were doing these rituals to anyone who stumbled upon that activity inadvertently, they're going to go, oh, that's creepy. But it was probably just the kids who were looking. The same as if we did a Ouija board in an abandoned building and then left it there. Do you know, people are like, oh, it's creepy, there's a Ouija board. The Ouija board's not the creepy part. The creepy part is what we were trying to talk to with the Ouija board, right? But you would still like get that element of fear from it.
But if you were a ghost and you wanted someone to talk to you, you'd find a Ouija board and you'd leave that out. You know?
I can't corroborate that.
But like, that's how you communicate with the dead.
Are you thinking of the Exorcist play when he tried to get her up into the attic and he was like, oh, here's my board?
Yeah, I am thinking of exactly that, Chels.
Is it the Exorcist? Was he the devil or was he a ghost?
The Exorcist was the person who tried to get the devil out of the...
Yeah, but his mate, it was the devil.
Oh, yeah, devil. Yeah. Oh, well, we went to see a play of the Exorcist, didn't we, Chels? And it was all right. But what was weird is that the voice of the devil was Ian McKellen. And he's a lovely man. He's not a devil.
Yeah, but it made me feel like I was seeing more highbrow play.
It definitely wasn't. It definitely wasn't. Why do vampires hate garlic?
Is this a joke? Is this a setup to a joke? Are you asking me?
No, it's not a setup. It's not a setup to a joke, Chels.
I don't know, Jim. I didn't look into that.
That's key information, Chels. But why do people think then that vampires don't like garlic? Where did that come from?
If I ever do a story on an actual vampire, I'll Google that before the episode.
Do you want a vampire joke?
Yeah.
What sort of club would a vampire join?
I haven't got time to think about it whilst making the podcast entertaining, so just give me the answer.
A blood group. What's a vampire's favourite fruit?
What sort of club would a vampire join? A blood group?
Yeah.
Huh.
What's a vampire's favourite fruit?
The blood fruit.
A blood orange.
Oh yeah, that's
a
it.
Blood orange is a type of orange.
Yeah, well, I know the clues in the orange.
Oh yeah, okay, one more. Where do vampires keep their money?
In the bank. In the vault. Go on.
In the blood bank.
The occult introduces us to the biggest name attached to the Highgate vampire, David Ferrant, I mentioned earlier. He is, essentially, David Ferrant is to the Highgate vampire what Brian Greene is to quantum physics, in that he's managed to introduce it to the masses, but sometimes his account is dubious. And that is likely to be because he benefits from that. Like, with Brian Greene, he makes quantum physics so basic normal people can understand it. But you can't do that. You can't just make it so basic we can understand it, because that means it's somewhere you've missed the point. Like, it's not real.
Yeah. But it's with the vampire, not everybody should be able to understand it. It's hard.
It is hard, and that's fine. It's
Are we
fine
talking
to
about
understand
vampires
things.
Now or quantum physics?
Well, both in a way, because we don't know about the garlic and we don't know about the genesis of, like, well, I do know a lot about space, so it's hard for me to think of an example.
But you don't know about garlic.
No. I've got my shortcomings. According to Wikipedia, on the 24th of December 1969, David spent the night in Highgate Cemetery, and 2 months later wrote a letter to the Hampstead and Highgate Express about his experience, stating he had glimpsed a grey figure which he considered to be supernatural and asked if others had seen anything similar. Now, Jim, I'm no calendar, but if you're seeing a mysterious figure on December 24th, that's Santa. That's not a vampire, David.
And why is he waiting a month before he tells anyone about it?
And why is he spending the night before Christmas in a cemetery? He's got
lonely.
Other problems. He's got problems. He's
Has he gone through a breakup?
Possibly. Well,
is this dad going off the rails? Is that what this is? Had he been previously sleeping in his car for a little while, not changed his cardigan for a few months? Why is he sleeping in a... Also, you see the grey mysterious figure. Fine. Why is he then thinking a month later, oh, I saw that grey figure a month ago. I should probably tell someone about that.
Well, that's a great point, Jim, and that might be one of the many reasons that we doubt David's account. Like, does he just want some attention? He obviously, if he's sad enough to be spending a night before Christmas in a cemetery alone, something's gone wrong, he's not happy, he's looking for an outlet.
It's definitely not the sign of a happy person, is it? Not on the 24th. Did he give any more details, though? Maybe he doesn't celebrate Christmas. Maybe he's Muslim. We don't know. There's lots of people who don't celebrate Christmas. Maybe he's Hindu.
I don't know if there were many of them in England in the 60s.
I don't know. I've not got the figures right here.
Just to put my old cultural lens on it, like I like to do, I'm going to just narrow it down into the fact that he's probably a Caucasian male. I'm also saying that because I have seen a photo of him.
Right.
So I can back it up with... Well, I mean, like, I don't want to say that every white man is Caucasian, but... I reckon he is.
Did he give any more details on the figure? Because no, it's not massively descriptive, is it? Grey figure.
He essentially just said, has anyone else seen this guy around? Lost, like, misconnections.
Yeah.
I saw you in the cemetery on Christmas Eve. You were transparent. I was wearing a red sweater, you know? Yeah.
He's got a beard. He likes it when children sit on his lap. Friendly with reindeers.
Within a couple of weeks... Several people had actually replied to David's story, describing a variety of ghosts said to haunt the cemetery in the adjoining Swain's Lane, which we talked about earlier because it's very steep.
Is there a lot of ghosts in Swain's Lane because it's so steep? People have tried to make it to the top but have just, like, died on the way.
That, or it's some sort of, like, real-life Sisyphean myth where all the bad ghosts are sent to have to keep walking up it. Or the bad nuns. The ghosts were described as a tall man in a hat, a spectral cyclist, which is interesting. They don't specify if he's on the bike, but it's rare you see, like, ghost transport.
I'm imagining a vampire on a bike now, and it's quite a humorous image. There's something vampire quite whimsical about that. Yeah. Oh.
that's your comical sound for anything. Oh. That was your sound for the dove coming out of that dead body last episode. Oh, vampire on a bike. Oh,
get out of the way, I'll suck your blood.
It is interesting, though, that you usually only hear about ghost ships and ghost trains. You never hear about ghost bikes.
Yeah.
Why is that?
That's true, actually.
Yeah, I've made an observation there that's accurate.
You never hear about ghost bikes. You never hear ghosts in any other sort of form of transport, really, do you? Like a ghost on a Segway.
Or ghost on a tandem.
Oh, I'd love to see a ghost on a tandem. I'd love to ride a tandem with a ghost.
I've got a tandem at work. Come by, pop round.
What, you've got a tandem bike? What, a tandem bicycle?
Yeah.
When have you ever ridden a bicycle, Chels?
It's Jimmy, I've been a child before.
Yeah, but okay, in recent years, when have you ridden a bicycle? That's just not a Chels thing to do.
I've ridden a tandem around the communal area at work.
Who with?
Somebody else I work with. What?
Who? Jim, I just don't like the idea of you riding tandems with people who aren't me.
Jim, I'm going to be honest. I've ridden a tandem with multiple boys.
Oh, for
Yeah. I mean, it's only ever drunk, Jim. Never sober. I'd never do it sober.
And you're telling me this on the podcast?
Well, I didn't know you were going to bring up ghost tandems.
I'd never ride a ghost tandem with anyone that isn't you.
No, and I won't do it again. I promise. I've made a mistake. We all make mistakes, yeah?
I mean, you didn't fall onto it, did you? That's all I say. It takes a lot of effort to get yourself on a tandem with another boy.
Jimmy.
Should we carry on with the vampire?
It didn't mean anything. Yeah. Somebody else saw a woman in white. Somebody saw a face glaring through the bars of a gate. Somebody else saw a figure wading into a pond. Another, a pale gliding form. Somebody else heard bells ringing and voices calling. And again, this is the point where the story unravels. In fact, I'm not sure this story ever ravels. Because at no point, again, is there ever just one thing. It's never just a vampire. It's always ghosts and multiple ghosts and bells. What have bells got to do with anything? It's probably just a church.
Oh, bells are creepy, though. I don't like a bell. So I'm a little bit lost. At what point was it a vampire? Because obviously now it's just people seeing all sorts of shit.
Well, people are attributing the word vampire specifically to David Ferrant.
He saw was a grey figure. He didn't see it. Yeah, he didn't see it sucking blood.
No, but the animal carcasses, I guess, you put it together. He's saying that he never specifically said it was a vampire. He said he saw something. Somebody said it was a vampire and then he just went along with it. Since then, he was also arrested for spending time in the cemetery and vandalizing it whilst being a vampire hunter.
What was he doing? Was he tagging?
I was just spending the night in the cemetery. I wasn't vampire hunting, officer.
What was?
Imagine that. Imagine having to convince someone you weren't vampire hunting.
Is that garlic in your pockets? No, that's not.
Just happy to see you.
Where does the vandalism come into it, though? Is he like smashing up graves? Is he digging them up? What's he doing?
I don't want to put all of the emphasis of the vandalism on David specifically. I think it's mostly the groups of youths. But he was like part of that, the occult movement. And because he had written into the local newspaper, he became like the figurehead, if you will, of the occult vampire hunting. There's now a Highgate Vampire Society, by the way, and he's the head of that.
So
he's the head of a lot of societies.
Clearly got too much time on his hands. I mean, we could have said that when we found out he was sleeping in cemeteries. But what have the sightings been since then? Is there any more evidence to suggest that there's a vampire roaming around in North London?
I've just given you a decade's worth of sightings in the cemetery.
Yeah, but they're not sightings of vampire. Nobody's mentioned a cape.
No, I started this. The metadata is all wrong. It's essentially like the clickbait version of Legends. They've called it the Highgate Vampire, but it's just bog standard cemetery ghosts.
Okay.
That's what it is, right?
Well,
because
I'm ready.
If you think about it.
Go on.
I'm just saying that if you want to sell a story and you want to be interesting, it's easier to get society to like buy into a figure of fear than like an acre of spook. Do you know? Like, if you could, like, pinpoint that into, like, a specific thing to be afraid of, like, it's the boogeyman, not the boogie meadow.
Yeah, right. So you're saying go specific, because it's easier to paint a picture in your mind's eye of something specific rather than just a general creepy thing that nobody can quite put their finger on.
And if you're David Farrant and you're the head of an occult society and you want some attention and you're having to sleep in the cemetery at Christmas, you're going to go, how can I make this something that will build into a legend? I'll make it a vampire.
What I will say, though, Chels, is if I was David and if I was wanting to make up a story about a vampire, I'd be going more in depth than just a grey shadowy figure. I'd say, yeah, he was wearing a cape, he had the weird cone back hair, his fangs were out, and he tried to suck my blood. Why not go more? If he's making it up, why not go more in depth with it?
Well, I think in this, actually, I'm going to give a bit of kudos to David at this point, because what he's done is he hasn't started a new legend. He's built on previous sightings. So he's gone, there's already a mystery here. I'll revisit it. And, like, instead of making up something new and going into too much specific, which aren't quite believable, I'll just go, oh, yeah, I saw that vampire again. But I'm going to become the leading expert in it.
He was nibbling on a squirrel. He didn't seem full, though. Definitely didn't look satisfied.
Not only has there been a lot of sightings for the last decade, starting with the nuns and including David, like, 5 or 6 years later, people say that they were also accosted by the vampire. So there has been a physicality, which obviously changes it from spectre to vampire. I think, like, you can't be touched by a ghost.
No.
And we all wish it was different, but you can't.
But what about the movie Ghost, the 1980s classic?
A lot of that, I think, is about not touching, isn't it?
Yeah,
or do they touch?
I don't know. Do they fuck?
I've seen her.
I've seen the bit where they're doing the Potter's Wheel.
Yeah, there's that bit. But you know in Her, when he has sex with his phone, I think it's like that. I think Her is just the modern day ghost.
Right. Okay. A cold, drafty wank.
Yeah, I didn't really... a drafty wank?
Yeah, that's what it's like. There was a woman on This Morning recently who claimed
to have... She wasn't having a drafty wank.
She claimed to have had sex with a ghost. Did you not hear about that?
I've had sex with a ghost. Well, I haven't had sex with it, but I've definitely had a sexual experience with a ghost.
What happened?
It might not have been a ghost. It might have been a dream. But I feel like the ghost was made the dream happen.
I don't want to pursue this anymore. What was the... So the vampire's now touching people. What are they feeling? Are they seeing him as he's touching them? Is he having a suck? What's the vibe?
For some reason, I didn't read much into this portion of the story because I didn't find it as interesting. And also, I was listening to a podcast this morning about Spring-Heeled Jack, and I can't remember which parts of it is my research and which parts of it is Spring-Heeled Jack, a completely different British legend.
Oh,
so what I'm going to say is I'm just going to split the difference and go, he touched a tit. Because in one of the stories, he vomits on them. And in another story, it's just a bit gropey. And
he vomits other one, on sort, them?
I think that's Spring-Heeled Jack that does the vomiting.
I mean,
he
that's
vomits
the,
a sort of flame.
That's the sign of a bad vampire, isn't it? Like, you've,
well,
you've geared yourself
Jack isn't
up.
A vampire.
But if it was a vampire, you've geared yourself up. You're about to pounce. It comes to it and you just can't bring yourself to it. You're so repulsed by the idea, you just do a little sick instead.
Like a premature sick. Like a premature ejaculation, but with vomit.
Yeah, exactly like that. And you have to just go back and find a hedgehog.
He's like a cute little bashful vampire.
Yeah. So I'm really going to do it this time. Right, some real human blood. Come on, there she is. Right. What?
In Farron's case, I'm reading my notes now, but I don't know if this is where I should be picking up. Yeah, no, it's not. Now, it all began. There's also a lad There's also a lad called Charles Christian.
I like him already.
What he did was he had a short story that he wrote that was set in Highgate Cemetery and was published in a book of ghost stories. Now, the book of ghost stories was fiction, but he has since claimed that his short fiction was actually based on short fact.
Wow.
Yeah. And again, it's a very similar story. In 1972, he said that he found a vault that had been broken open, and inside there was a burned-out coffin strewn with garlic. Whilst there, he removed a piece of bone-encrusted, melted coffin lead as a souvenir.
But, has he still got that? Because that would be a great bit of proof for that story.
Yeah, well, he said he threw it away because it upset his first living girlfriend, so he just got rid of that one.
Right. What a pussy.
So what happened was I went into the Highgate vampire legend with great gusto because, like, I was like, oh, best British legends, and it was in all of them. I was like, I'll research that because it's just up the road from me. I wanted to do ones in my area. It's just up the road. But once I got further into the story, I noticed it's just sort of a few sightings.
And they and seem like very different. There's very little cohesion between the sightings.
Yeah, and also it's not a vampire, and I could have done any ghost I wanted. There's ghosts all over the shop. There's a ghost story up the road that I want to do in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
But I want to do this one because you don't hear about vampires.
Well, they're not all going to be, you know, they're not all going to be...
Winners,
you know, and we're debunking as well. And this one's been debunked. I don't think there is a vampire knocking about in Highgate.
Jim.
There's probably loads of ghosts, but... Why would a vampire be around corpses? A vampire wants living blood. It's got no reason hanging about in a cemetery. Unless it's just like, you know how sort of in 2007 YouTube, it was just all a bunch of misfits. Like all the weirdos drawn together. Maybe that's why he's knocking about in the cemetery. He just feels at home.
Just want to make some friends.
He's just making some friends. Like he's been rejected by the real world. Go and chat to the ghosts.
Why do we? That's a good point. Like, why do we always think spookies are scaries? Like, just because it's dead doesn't mean it's not friendly. Casper
was lovely. Casper was fit.
Yeah,
no,
he was fucking beautiful. He was a really hot child.
He's older than us, so it's fine. Well, he's older than me.
He's older than me, Jim. Everyone's older than me. He's really older than me.
I found out why vampires hate garlic.
Go on.
Garlic has historically been used to repel blood-sucking insects in gardens. It's commonly grown to act as a natural insect repellent.
That feels to me a bit like using a fly swatter for like an eagle.
But did you know that garlic, that vampires also hate spring onions and leeks?
I didn't know that, Jim.
Yeah, so if you've not got a garlic knocking about, just hit it with a leek.
Like when you put peppermint on the floor to get rid of the mice.
Did you do that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, they hate fresh breath.
Spiders hate conkers.
That's not true because I will go far and wide to get rid of a spider and conkers aren't good enough.
It's true. My mum's got conkers in her house and she's not had a spider. Oh no, no siree, no spiders in mum's house.
What's going on with conkers?
It's just like a conch.
A slightly longer conch. Then you know what? You know how I know that spiders aren't scared of conkers? Because you get loads of spiders outside where the most conkers are.
Yeah, but it's breezy out there, so they can't smell it because it's being blown away.
Spiders don't have noses!
I've never seen a spider near a conker.
I've never seen a spider with a nose! How does it know what a conker is? How does it know a conker's there?
Of course they've got noses, Chels.
Jimmy, they've got too many eyes and not enough nose!
You think they'd make them with 8 eyes and no noses? No, they've probably got like 12 noses. I don't know if they've got ears.
They haven't got lips, I'll tell you that much.
They've got teeth, though.
The laser is something that will blow your mind. The latest sighting of the Highgate vampire was in 2016.
What?
Mm-hmm. When the headline of the reputable Daily Star read, without hyperbole, "The Highgate vampire returns. Horror sightings of floating figure spark UK panic."
Well, firstly, the Daily Star isn't reputable, but I do like the idea of... I don't remember this widespread panic.
No, it passed me by.
And you live down the road.
I live down the road and the UK panic just went right on by.
So what was the panic based on? What had happened?
Well, witness had said that they had seen a floating man in a Victorian suit and top hat gliding through locked gates. Right, so one, why is he suddenly Victorian? It seems to me like too ideal to the narrative of like vampires that you'd see in a story there.
I've never seen a vampire in a top hat. That's going to fall straight off when you go and suck some blood. Unless you've got one of those things to tie it around your chin. That doesn't sound like a vampire to me, Charles. Honestly, I don't want to sully the good name of the Daily Star, but I do not imagine a vampire in Victorian clothes in a top hat. I imagine a vampire wearing a cape, one of those, like maybe a shirt, but a shirt with is it a cummerbund around your midriff?
One, yeah, it is a cummerbund. Two, what? Who's wearing a fucking top hat with a chin strap? Where does that come from? Because you're thinking of the armed guard.
No, Chelsea, I'm just saying I've never seen a vampire wearing a top hat, because if it was wearing a top hat, it'd be falling off all the time. And if you go in to suck someone's blood from their neck, that top hat's going to be on the floor. So for practical purposes, you're going to need some kind of chin strap, which, yeah, you're right, sounds ridiculous, which is why I don't think they're seeing a vampire. I think they're just seeing a dead Victorian.
Well, again, the ghost theory is supported, the vampire theory is debunked. But at this point, and when I read the Daily Star article, they introduced a new piece of information which I had yet to come across elsewhere, which makes me question where they're getting their source from, because it wasn't in the Wikipedia article either. Legend, they say, has it. What legend? Because I've just read four versions of this fucking legend on multiple little red blogs, and none of them has mentioned this. Legend has it that the vampire was a medieval nobleman. So what one? Why is he wearing a fucking Victorian suit? He's a medieval nobleman who had practiced black magic in medieval Romania. He was brought to the coffin in the 18th century to England. No, he wasn't brought to the coffin. He was brought to England in a coffin in the 18th century, but was awoken from the dead by modern Satanists at his resting place in Highgate Cemetery in northern London. So finally, we have the genesis of the vampire story, found nowhere but the Daily Star article.
Where have they found that? I've never heard that before. Are they making that up?
Well, I mean, Jim, that's a great question.
I mean, I like it. I do like the story a lot. I mean, you're right. Why is he dressed as a Victorian if he's dining in the... Unless he just had a penchant for fancy dress. In which case, good luck to him.
Jimmy, how can you listen to what you're suggesting, young man? For a start, even if it was fancy dress, how is a Romanian going to get fancy dress from the future? He's from the medieval times. That would be like me coming to fancy dress and going, oh, guys, I'm dressed up as someone from 2400 and I knew what the era was called and what the queen was going to be.
Lucky guess. You got a lucky guess.
Jimmy, this is real life, vampires.
Maybe he's now dressing up in fancy dress as a ghost. As a vampire. What's the difference between a vampire and ghost again? I'm
confused. The ghost tailors.
Yeah.
With his ghost money that he's getting from the blood bank.
We could go to Highgate Cemetery right now and see him just like walking around dressed as Scary Spice. You know, we don't know what he's into.
Scary Spice?
Yeah.
Are you saying that because he's... Well, he wouldn't be Ginger Spice because he eats like onions and stuff.
What?
Ginger's a root vegetable.
Oh yeah.
We should go to Highgate Cemetery though and like do a vlog there.
We could do a live podcast from there.
We should do that. One, we're just in our houses and this one was hard enough. So like I'm sure the Highgate Cemetery one will be a real treat. But it'll be good though. Let's do it. Extra Highgate facts for fans of Highgate and facts. Buried in Highgate include Karl Marx, Douglas Adams, George Eliot, and most importantly, Jeremy Beadle.
Oh, my dream dinner party. Yeah.
Maybe not George Eliot.
Nah, he can stay. In fact, actually, probably just go with Jeremy Beadle. Just like one-on-one, candlelit. Oh, I hope you don't prank me. okay, Charles, I'm ready for the creepy twist that brings this story to a satisfying conclusion.
Yeah, that was it. It was the bit about the from the Daily. It was the Daily Star. Was the I told you there wasn't going to be a big conclusion. It just sort of peters away until we end up in Romania. But what journey
though,
we've been on,
and we're still on a journey. We're not at the end of the journey. This has really sparked in me an interest in vampires, which we can continue in upcoming podcasts.
Wait, are you saying that your next podcast is going to be on vampire?
Maybe. I've not decided what it's going to be yet. I mean, maybe we give vampires a rest for 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, we've really exhausted vampires, I think, with this ghost story.
I want to know more about them. I want to know, like, why does it have to be a stake through the heart? Like, what, were you a human that's turned vampire? Who was the first vampire? Why is it only blood that you like? Is there a spiritual element to this?
Who was the first vampire? Nosferatu was the first vampire, Jim.
Nostradamus? Isn't he like the guy who predicted the future?
Caecilius. Nosferatu from the film. It's got hands in it. He's got hands, you know. Nosferatu with hands.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Nosferatu. I'm pretty sure he's the first vampire, unless it was the Egyptians.
I can't imagine an Egyptian vampire, Charles. I can't imagine a vampire in a pyramid.
I think there was a lot of vampires in the ancient Egyptian times.
But what would they be wearing? Because it's very hot in Egypt. I can't imagine like a vampire in shorts and a sun hat. I feel like the only way to end this podcast, Charles, or at least this section of the podcast, is with a vampire joke.
Oh, no.
What do you get if you cross a vampire with a snail?
Mary Shelley!
The world's slowest vampire.
Oh, I feel like Mary Shelley's better. Oh, no, she's Frankenstein. Fuck!
I think for humour, we should cut when you shout Mary Shelley. It feels weird making, like, edit notes while I know Discord is listening.
What, you want me to cut out my great Mary Shelley joke that I got wrong?
No. That's the punchline.
Oh.
You well, shouting Mary Shelley.
I'm happy to look like an idiot too if anyone's still listening in Discord, but I don't know if I want to look like an idiot to the people that listen to this podcast in the future.
That's where the joke, I excitedly Charles, trust scream. Me. You know, you got to take one for the team sometimes.
Even if I cut my Mary Shelley joke out, it's not like I'm not ever going to look like an idiot. Like, that ship has sailed.
Let's go into the postscript now.
The poem, okay.
Unless you've got more that you want to talk about.
No. Thus concludes my story of the Highgate Vampire. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We're about to do our wrapping up words and notifications. Jim, do you want to do some words and notifications?
Sure. I've got words and they will notify you of the fact that I enjoyed that story, Charles. Despite its lack of any discernible ending, I had fun with it, so thank you for telling me. I think maybe this won't be the last time we come into contact with vampires or indeed Highgate Cemetery.
I really hope not, Jim, and thank you for being complimentary of my story, even though it may have been a letdown.
Well, you know, we made it very clear at the start, guys, that the expectations had to be lowered. I would definitely want to say thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, though.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I've been blown away. Like, I wish there were words that weren't as cliche to say, but I've been, like, so touched by all the support that we've had, and I've had a really nice time getting to know everybody in the Discord, because at the moment there's only, like, 20 people.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, it's the guys. Words.
And I was just like, when we set that target on the Patreon, I thought, oh, maybe we'll get that one day, like in a few months' time, like if we can build the podcast, if we can prove that it's good enough. But the fact that we're nearly there now is just amazing. And also, Patreon is really fun. I'm really enjoying
it.
Like, it's got its own basic. We can do like our own private Snapchats to the Patreon people, and we can chat and do voice notes and stuff. It's fun, but I don't want to alienate people who aren't in Patreon. Like, if you don't want to support us or if you can't afford to, that is totally, totally fine.
I mean, like, to counter that and maybe to put people off Patreon, today I posted pictures of my lunch. I posted a picture of a packet of crisps. I posted a picture of a keyboard. I posted a picture of an empty
Peter
packet
Pizza
of crisps.
Pepper.
So Chelsea's really confused exactly what Patreon is from, like, a way to talk about the podcast and encourage support, and just gone, here's all my thoughts.
This is just an extended WhatsApp group for Chelsea, basically.
Yeah, it is. 8 people have, like, push notifications on, so every time I, like, say something really inane there, they get told about it wherever they are. They feel bad. No. Anyway, thanks so much for listening, guys. And thanks to our Patreon supporters, but also thank you for anyone that's listening, because that's incredible that you would listen to us.
Oh, honestly. If you want to send us an email, we are jimandchels@gmail.com. We've not had any emails yet, but we would like some. If you've got like a suggestion for a story you want us to talk about, or even if you've just got any like general comments or observations, send it to us. We'll read it out, like whatever.
Or if you've got something really short and snappy to tell us, tweet us at Chels and Jim. Chels and Jim is pretty much where you can find us anywhere on the internet, apart from if you want to email us, then it's jimandchels@gmail.com.
Yeah, due to a clerical error, that is confusing.
A Chels error.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Have a lovely weekend. Have a lovely life.
We're back next Sunday.
Bye.
Stay away from vampires.